Much of Stephen Foster's music is preserved at the Stephen Foster Memorial, the only museum, library, and theater dedicated to an American composer. The Foster Hall collection in the memorial serves as the principal repository for materials concerning the life, music, or themes of Stephen Foster, the first professional songwriter in the United States. The collection ranges far beyond Foster materials. There are over 30,000 manuscripts, musical instruments, portraits, books, recordings, artworks, scores, journals, and other types of materials used for the study and performance of music from American life. The building is of French Gothic architecture, carved in stone, with stained glass windows depicting the scenes from Foster songs. I'm Jim Cunningham, your host for this program of Foster's Music. I asked Dr. Dean Root, the director of the Stephen Foster Memorial in Pittsburgh, to show us around the Foster Hall collection.
And we have a number of displays set up here in this museum wing of the Stephen Foster Memorial, to the left of the lobby. We have some of the photographs. There's every piece of sheet music that Stephen Foster wrote arranged around the walls of this room, and some of his instruments. One of the favorites of mine is the little melodeon, which is a portable organ, and there's a strap that you can see hanging beneath it, which Stephen would sling over his shoulder and carry this instrument about with him. It's a little reed organ, and the way it works is by gravity. You push up on the bellows underneath with your knee and then let the bellows fall, and that sucks the air in through the reeds and makes a sweet little tone. Can I demonstrate for you? That's about all the sound I can get out of it. It takes a little bit of skill to get the timing down so that you can get the notes out as the bellows are falling. Now, in the shrine room, we also have Stephen Foster's flute. We have Stephen Foster's piano that is on loan from the Carnegie Museum. And it's a beautiful German-style square piano or rectangle piano in which the keyboard is set at the front and the strings run perpendicular, I suppose, rather than straight out from the player as we have in the modern concert grand pianos. And a lot of rosewood and inlaid wood on the keyboard area. Everyone wants to see the wallet, Stephen Foster's last message, and the 38 cents. We also have a number of interesting objects that were not Stephen's particularly. Among them is the Steuben glass bowl, one of a set of three that was made. They were all identical, and President Truman gave one of them to the Queen of the Netherlands. The other one is on display at the Corning Museum. The Stephen Foster penny stamp issued in 1940, and the commemorative half dollar, Stephen Foster half dollar. So these are some of the artifacts that people are most interested in. And then, of course, we try to be educational and show the some of the books that have been written about Stephen Foster, the collections of his music, broadsides from the 19th century, which were the way many people got their music, through little sheets of paper that were snipped off a longer sheet and had the words of the songs on them.
Is there any rhyme or reason to the what's on the walls here?
This is every piece of sheet music that Stephen Foster ever had published, and every page of every piece, I might add, beginning with the letter A and running through the letter W. He didn't write any Y or Z songs. There are 201 songs here altogether. It's a staggering thing to walk in and see all of the music of a composer surrounding you. It's the only place I know of that one can do that. And I like to go around from time to time, especially when there's no one in here, and just hum a few of the melodies. It's a good way to see everything that he wrote all at the same time. Gentle Annie was a ballad written and composed by Foster and copyrighted in 1856. And we have two versions of it here on the wall, actually, one for the piano and one for guitar, because Stephen apparently wrote the arrangement for guitar himself. So the words go like this. Thou wilt come no more, gentle Annie. Like a flower, thy spirit did depart. Thou art gone, alas, like the many that have bloomed in the summer of my heart. And you get a resonant effect in this room, and if you just hum lightly, it's rather ethereal.
Dr. Dean Root, the director of the Stephen Foster Memorial in Pittsburgh. In addition to all the originals of Foster's music, the original manuscript of Antonín Dvořák's arrangement of Foster's Old Folks at Home is part of the Foster collection. Dvořák conducted the first performance of Stephen Foster's music in 1894 during his visit to America. Before Dvořák's arrangement became part of the Stephen Foster Memorial Collection, it was part of the estate of Jeanette Thurber, the president of the National Conservatory Music School in New York. The school encouraged attendance by minority students. Harry T. Burleigh of Erie, Pennsylvania, was a student there and worked as Dvořák's copyist. Burleigh's grandfather, Hamilton E. Waters, was a slave in Somerset County, Maryland. After he was released from slavery, Waters worked in Erie as a lamplighter. Harry Burleigh went along leading his grandfather, who was blind. They sang spirituals together as they lit the lamps. Dvořák drew upon Harry Burleigh's knowledge of African-American spirituals and Stephen Foster's songs as he created his arrangements. Dvořák's most familiar work, his New World Symphony, was written in response to the experiences he had in America, listening to spirituals sung to him by Harry Burleigh, among other music he heard in the United States. Here's the University of Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra and the Hines Chapel Choir, conducted by Kypros Marcou, the first performance in this century of the original manuscript, Antonín Dvořák's arrangement of Stephen Foster's The Old Folks at Home, with soloists Thomas Douglas, baritone, and Demarius Cooper, soprano.